This evening we're going to turn in God's Word to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And we're going to read together the first five verses of this psalm. Psalm 30. And verse 1. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 5, trusting the Lord will add His own blessing to this reading of His Word for His name's sake. This evening I want us to center our attention on the second verse, particularly where the psalmist says, O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. He cried, and the Lord responded. He cried, and the Lord acted. He cried, and the Lord came to his side and prevented those that were set against him to have any rejoicing over Him. In many ways, you could look at that action there of the psalmist and say what he did in that moment was a good cry. And that's what I would like for us to think on this evening, a good cry. And take verse 2 as our text. Before we consider anything further, though, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to meet with us and to speak to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Our Father and our God, again now we come into Thy presence, thankful, O God, that we hold Thy Word in our hands. It is indeed the living Word, and Lord, we're glad to have it, glad to be able to hold it, glad to be able to look therein and hear from that Word the very voice of God to our hearts through the power of the Spirit. Lord, we would ask tonight that as we consider Thy Word and as we consider the things that are in Thy Word, that Thou wouldst, for Jesus' sake, come and minister to us. We pray that Thou wilt point us again to Calvary. We pray that Thou wilt point us to those bleeding wounds and the hope that we have because of the finished work of Christ. We pray that Thou wilt help us to see that in Him we have a confidence of being received by God. And Lord, so that when we lift up our voice to our God, we shall have every confidence that God hears and that God will act for us. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt bless us now as we consider these things. I pray that Thou wilt close us in with Thyself. I pray that Thy Spirit would come and give aid to our hearts, that we would both hear of Thyself and of Thy Son. And Lord, that Thou wouldst help me as Thy servant to speak aright, to speak those things that Thou hast appointed so that Christ would be glorified. Lord, we pray now that Thou wilt bless us. We pray that Thou wilt help us. We pray that Thou wilt meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. We might ask, how often was it during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus that you read of some crying to the Lord? How many times did the Son of God, as He was walking in the way, have His steps stopped by the cry that reached His ear from someone beside the way, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst. and all the other wonderful things that we see that came to the Lord as far as those times in which He showed Himself strong and merciful. How many were the cries? You remember that perhaps one was indeed a stranger. We think of Bartimaeus, one who had never met the Lord, but had only heard of the Lord. As the Savior was passing that way, cried, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord heard him, stopped. And even though there were some who would say, "Bartimaeus, stop your crying, stop your commotion, stop your calling upon the Lord said, "No, bring him to me." And the Lord healed him. Perhaps you'll remember that there was a time when there was an embattled father, one whose son was possessed with a demon, and he cries to the Lord, "Lord, help me!" And the Lord Jesus says, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And he says, "Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief." The cry itself was a cry for increase of faith. And the Lord Jesus says, "Amen. There's the thing I'm looking for. Faith there." And the Lord heals his son. You have the cry of the desperate father who comes to the Lord, whose daughter is dying at home, and he cries to the Lord, "Lord, come down ere my child die." And the Lord Jesus says, "I will come down. I will turn aside from the way that I was going, and I will meet with you and your family in your home, and I will help your daughter." The Lord dealt with a well-intentioned but weak disciple who was walking on the water for a little bit of time and then found himself crying, "Lord, save me!" And the Lord says, "Okay," lifts him back up, walks with him to the ship. Oh, indeed, how often can you see? And I say those are just but instances, but how often was it that the Lord Jesus heard the cry from the people who were waiting on Him, looking for Him? Each one that cried received His attention. You didn't see once, not once, that the Savior says, "I can't attend to that one. I can't come along to that need. This one is one I'm going to have to pass by." Not once. Everyone received His attention. Every one of them also received a comfort from His hand. You know, sometimes it seems that when the Lord dealt with some of these and spoke words such like, "How is it that you have no faith?" Things like that, you think, "Well, how is that a comfort?" It was a comfort because the Lord Jesus was addressing a heart need. He was bringing a man to see the point at which he would be able to go on with God. Yes, there must be faith. There was a word of comfort even in the rebukes of Christ, if you will. But I say, you never saw one instance of the Lord being cried to, not one single time, in which He did not help. He always helped. And there, I say, is a very great lesson for us. We have a Savior who attends to our cry. Here, I say, is a lesson in a very short word, that those that cry to Jesus Christ find that He comes to them with a healing. That is our lesson. There's not one of us, if we cry to Christ, that will not have His ministry. But that raises a question. So why is it so often that we do not perceive His touch or notice His healing or appreciate His ministry or sense His power? Why is it that it goes so unnoticed? Well, using indeed the terms of this psalm here, whether he talks about being lifted up by the Lord or those who are in the grave who are laid low, so to speak, let me just simply say it this way. The man who bows to let Christ be the ruler in all things is that man who notices a lifting. If you are bowed down and the Savior lifts you up, you notice. But the man who stands stiff, looking for his own will, often misses what has been laying at his feet, even the blessing of God. There is a need indeed to bow before the Savior for us to perceive these things. But I would say that there's something else that's suggested here, something that I want to get to tonight. And that subject is this. A heart to cry in the time of need is a gift of God that echoes of faith. The very crying of your heart to the Lord is the Lord's gift within you. The very fact that you would lift your voice is the Lord's help, is the Lord's goodness to you. I want us to notice four things tonight as we would think about that subject, that gift, that help that the Lord gives to His people, even in enabling them to cry. The first thing I want us to see from the words that we have here is the importance of the relationship. It is important that we think on and keep in our minds and hearts the relationship that we have with the Lord. You know, the first thing that we must understand about a good cry is that it makes a difference who you cry to. You know, a baby, when he cries, won't get quite the same attention from, well, just an acquaintance or somebody that he knows as he would from his own mother. It makes a difference who you cry to. You know, I think for us, oftentimes, the reason why we get ourselves in a knot emotionally, spiritually, when it comes to those times of need when we find ourselves crying out, is that we find ourselves crying to one another. We cry in each other's ears. And we would rather have, for some reason, it's just something strange about us, I guess, we'd like to have that moment's worth of sympathy that we can see in the face of somebody else that's right there with us, than to have a true help from above. I'd rather just let you know about my needs and you know about how miserable I am. And if I can possibly do it, I'm going to make you miserable right along with me. You don't mind, do you? We like that. I say what makes all the difference in the help that is received for our souls and our lives is who we cry to. Oh, may we learn the simple lesson from Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, Bartimaeus could have been asking somebody that was there beside him, please, will you help me to my feet? Please, you know, I can't see. Will you bring me to the way where he is so that when he passes by, maybe I can reach out and take him by the sleeve and pull him to myself. Help me alone. No, the Bartimaeus said, there's only one person that I'm going to start calling to. And it's to Jesus. Well, we might ask the question, but do we at times of great need always think aright or understand fully the relationship that we have with Christ? Do we always understand who it is that we are to cry to? Do you have it so well in hand spiritually? Are you so sound in your mind and in your thinking and in the hours of your great distress that you have in your mind, well, here's the relationship with Christ. I know I can come to Him. Well, let me just simply answer that for you in case you may not know the answer. The answer is no. You don't always think rightly. You don't always understand. You don't always have a perception in your mind that the Lord is nigh at hand to them that fear Him. You don't always have it in your mind that your Savior is as close as a brother. You don't always have it in your mind that He will not leave you, that He will go nowhere but by your side. You don't have these things always in your mind. And you don't always cry to the right place. In fact, I'll say it this way. We cry and we are so full of doubt in our own souls that all we perceive is the weakness of our own crying. Oh, how miserable is my crying! How miserable are my petitions! How weak is my argument! How desperately does my request before God fall short! It is weak altogether. You and I don't really sometimes even feel the relationship that we have with the Lord, or discern it, or keep it in our minds. But that's not the point. The point of the matter is this. Jesus does not forget the relationship. Even though you and I may be confused, and even though we may be cast down, and even though we may be fearful and have a heart that is groaning within us, yet we have a Savior who does not forget the relationship with His people. He is not passing over in His mind all that is involved with your place with Him. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, Peter makes mention of the Lord. Peter, that one who has known such trials, that one who had known such failings, that one who had known so many instances in which it was right for him to cry out to the Lord, makes the statement in 1 Peter 3 and 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." You say, well, that last part seems a little bit stern. No, that last part is for you and me a very sweet thing. You say, what? How does that have any relevance to me? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Think about the nature of the Lord's displeasure with evil. He is at all times, in all ways, against that which is evil. He is opposed to it. He is turned from it. But when you have the contrast, the ears of the Lord are open to the cries of, or the prayers of His people. The contrast is in the very same fashion in which the Lord's face is set against the wicked, His face is set toward those that are believing in Him. His eyes are ever upon them. His ears are ever open. He is always diligently, constantly, unchangingly set for the help of His people. He does not in any way shift from that stance. As He does not shift from His stance about being against evil, so He does not shift from His stance in being a helper to His people. Oh, I say, Christ does not forget that relationship that exists between us. He will not let that be something that comes and goes in His mind. He is fully facing, He is fully knowing His people. The relationship that exists with us and Christ is unchanging. Therefore, I can cry on the basis of that relationship. Secondly, I want us to see the substance of reality. The substance of reality. What's the reality about crying? Well, just to put it very plainly, crying is not pleasant. Crying is not pleasant. Now, I know that some of you will say, but wait a minute, brother, I know somebody who probably would be a good candidate to ruin your statement there, because I think that person enjoys crying. And it seems like at the drop of a hat, that person can be crying. Well, let me put it to you this way. The people who are on the other end of the crying oftentimes are not those who consider it very pleasant. There may be the odd one who says it is to me, it's pleasant. Generally, crying is not pleasant. And may we even put it this way, in the context of what we have here and in the context of our experience, crying is nothing but the complete lack of pleasure. It is the antithesis of pleasure. It is that which is an opposite to joy. Crying is that anguish of soul and heart. It is the pouring out of emotion from a pain that resides within. Again, we have the examples of those that cried. Remember, indeed, the disciples that cried because they were in the fear of danger. They cried to the Lord, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Again, one of the most needless cries that ever was voiced, but indeed, that was beside the point. You had the Syrophoenician woman who cried to the Lord when she came to the Lord to heal her daughter from the demon. She cried, fearing that the Lord would actually reject her. But her cry met with a receptive ear. And very often, there will arise realities, pains, afflictions in our lives that so overwhelm the heart that a man who at other times could verbalize his mind can only act but like a little child and cry. How often that is. Indeed, that is reality. And to have to cry to the Lord is not a situation in which the heart takes great delight. But I say, even though that is real on our end, let's also see the reality on the other. And that is simply this. Our Savior is never overwhelmed by that which faces the needy. He is never overwhelmed by that which seems to overwhelm you. That which causes you not to be able to think, to be able to move, to be able to go forward. Those things that seem insurmountable things to your heart. Those are not things that the Lord Jesus looks at and says, "This overwhelms me." And though it is, our crying is not pleasant to us, the situation that causes us the pain is not something that Christ looks at and says, this is beyond me. But rather, the reality is simply this, child of God, your Savior, even in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your upheaval, Christ rests. You say, how does that comfort me? Simply this way, because Christ has won the battle. And He knows that for those that are His, that there will be the certain reward for His blood work. He knows that because of what He has done on Calvary's tree, you and I shall indeed have every grace, have every sustaining help, shall have every purchased blessing from the hand of God. We will have every help. The Savior can rest. He does not need to be overwhelmed like we do, because indeed He knows that there is for us purchased the very thing that we need for our souls. And though we would cry, and though we would feel this is a moment most unpleasant, yet you see Christ. And the reality with Him is that He rests at the right hand of God, seated there, because of a certainty of the acceptance of His work. Then the third thing I would point out to you this evening is the certainty of response. The certainty of response. I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. You know, when a little one cries, what do we usually want to do for the little one, the very first thing? When you have... I remember when we had little ones, little ones, when they first cried, the first thing you want to do is grab a bottle quick. Let's see if we can give her something to eat and maybe she'll stop crying. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. Normally when you have a little one that's scared, or you have a little one that's hurt, or a little one that has a problem, or you want to take the child up in your arms and you want to stop that child from crying. You want to wipe away the tears. May I just simply say that that's the way of the Lord. That's the way He acts towards us. And hallelujah, there will be one day that He most literally will do that. He says that He will wipe away all tears in that day. He will receive us unto Himself like His little dear children that He has loved for so long. But I say, when the Lord speaks to us here about His response to us, He is letting us know that there is for us a certain hearing of our cry. But again, we might ask the question, but wait a minute. What if my cry is not of faith? What if my cry is based on something selfish? Then the Lord's not going to hear me, right? Then the Lord's going to turn that ear away and say, "Now listen, you didn't cry in the right way. You didn't cry with a heart that was filled with faith." Well, let me just put it to you this way. You know what? You're never going to cry with a heart that's filled with faith. You don't have it within you to cry to the Lord without some selfishness being a part of it. It's not in you to be able to do. Oh, brother, certainly so. Oh, yes, we should be able to rise up above these things and be able to carry ourselves to the throne of grace and to be able to cry to the Lord with all the nobility of heart that comes from a redeemed heart. No, you don't. You never find yourself free from your own self, your own selfishness, your own pride, those things that you have as your selfish desires. You can't. So to say that, well, maybe if I don't pray in faith and the Lord won't hear me, there's never a time that you're going to pray or you're ever going to cry with 100% pure faith. And sometimes we might even say, but maybe there's a cry that's not understood. You know, it would almost seem that if we can't define and verbalize ourselves in prayer and carry our needs before the Lord, then the Lord won't be able to know what I'm saying and asking and know what to do. You ever wonder that? Lord, I'm not really able to verbalize all that's going on in my heart. I'm not really able to put into very well-cut, defined words here exactly what the story is or what I need. And so I'm afraid, perhaps, maybe then you won't understand what I need either. Oh, how silly we can be. The Lord hears and knows. And we have from indeed this scripture that there is not a cry which is not taken to His heart. If the Lord is my God, there is not one single instance in which my heart utters a cry that He does not take that cry to His own heart. It's true with us and our little ones. It's true of the Lord and those that trust in Him. Well, then lastly, I want us to look at the basis of reviving. He says, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. That word, healed, is the word to make healthful, to relieve of hurts and wounds, to restore to favor. Well, we might ask the question, how are we healed? Well, we're healed because we asked in faith, isn't it? It's because we came and we uttered our voice before the throne and we faithfully exercised our devotion to God, and it's because of how we came, isn't it? No, it's not. We are healed because, as 1 Peter 2 says, there was one who bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Very frankly, you will be heard, you will be helped, you will be healed in your soul, child of God, because Jesus has bled to ensure it. The basis, the surety of our being healed is that Jesus has done everything that is needful for us to obtain that healing. So we have David saying here, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. It was a good cry. It was a cry that centered upon his God, on the relationship that he had with his God. It was a cry of faith. Simply realizing, I have a Savior who will not forget me. I have a Savior who has done everything to ensure the help of God for me. So I cry to this one. I lift up my heart, even though I may not be able to put intelligible words into my sentences, and though I may fumble along, yet I have one who understands, who hears, and who will heal my heart because of who He is. Not because of who I am. Because of how wonderful He is. Not because of anything that has to do with me. Oh, I say tonight, child of God, if you've got an issue of heart, the place for you to come is to your God. But the manner in which you should come is simply this. Looking unto Jesus. You look to Him. You trust in Him. You set your mind and heart to Him. He is that one who has gained the healing of God for you. He is the one who has gained the help Will you come? Will you trust? Amen. May God bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, again this night, we're thankful for Thy word. We pray that Thou will bless Thy word to us. We pray that Thou will give it clarity and freedom within our soul, Lord, to realize that we have a wonderful Savior. And Lord, we can come to Thee and we can pour out our hearts to Thee. And even though we look at our cry and we say how pitiful that was, yet we have one who can take even the cries of our hearts, the unintelligible things, and take them and hold them to His own heart and hear those things that resound of faith, and He will act for us. Lord, I pray that Thou will help us to get our minds and hearts upon the Savior. And Lord, may we rest in Him as He rests in His own work. Lord, now I pray that Thou will bless us as we leave this place. I pray that Thou will go with these, Thy people. I pray that Thy Spirit will continue to minister and help even through the course of the days that lie ahead of us. We pray, O God, that Thou will cause us to be a people who do know the help of our God throughout the week. Lord, keep Thy people. Preserve them from all the attacks of the wicked one, we pray. And now dismiss us with Thy blessing, we ask. Go with us from this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.